Good evening, Eagle Country, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. It is tax season out there, folks. Get out and see them. They'll give you $50 cash now with paid tax preparation. And with their easy advance loan, you could get $500 up to $6,250 if approved for that easy advance loan. But every Monday night, Crunch Time comes to you from 6 to 6:30. We run down all the latest in local high school, college, and pro sports. Plenty to get into tonight. And definitely stand by, because here in about 10 minutes, maybe even a little less, we're going to catch up with the East Central Trojans boys basketball team, our featured guest tonight. But first, we got to start with the rundown. And topic number one, you guessed it, the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 54 happening last night. It was the Kansas City Chiefs 31, San Francisco 49ers 20. And some of my takeaways from this game, obviously San Francisco, if you watch the game, had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And there was two particular drives that I was watching when they had that 10-point lead. Both of these drives, strong run play on first down, both drives. And then on that second down, second and five, second and four, whatever it is, two play action passes that ended in incompletions, setting up third down. And then Kansas City gets off the field. So I think they had a couple of wasted opportunities to keep the ball on the ground, keep bleeding that clock, and trying to keep the ball out of the hands of Patrick Mahomes. So I do think that the 49ers kind of let this one get away from them a little bit. They also didn't get a chance to step on the throats of the Chiefs as well. Maybe a kind of a contradictory statement there. You know, you either keep the ball on the ground or you go for that that big throat-stepping play, and they never were able to do that. But hats off to the Chiefs. They did step up, make some defensive stops, and then we know this team can score it in bunches. They've done it through the entire playoffs. They came from behind in every single game that they won and outscored San Francisco 21-0 in the fourth quarter. And one thing that you do have to love about this game is that Andy Reid finally got to taste that victory in the Super Bowl. He had won a Super Bowl in the past as an assistant coach, but as a head coach, it always seemed to be the one thing that he couldn't get. He's had 14 postseason losses, five times in the conference championship and once in the Super Bowl. So Andy Reid finally breaking through as a head coach and winning the Super Bowl for the first time, likely cementing a Hall of Fame career for Andy Reid. He's won a ton of games and always has his team in the mix in the playoffs. So those were my takeaways from that game last night. One more, I guess, that I should throw out there. Patrick Mahomes was named the MVP of the Super Bowl, and that's great. I didn't think he played well for three quarters. He came up big in the biggest moments, but I would like to at least give some honorable mention to running back Damian Williams. Thought he played consistent throughout the entire game. 17 carries, 107 rushing yards. He had two total touchdowns, and he averaged 6 yards per carry. So Damian Williams played big last night for the Chiefs. But the NFL season, done and out of the way. If you still like football, Vince McMahon's going to bring back his XFL league starting up this Saturday. If you really want to watch some football, that's going to be on your television screen. They're going to have some interesting rules, so might be worth a try. And now all signs point to the NFL Combine. Will the Bengals go through with drafting Joe Burrow? There's been some talk out there that the Miami Dolphins covet Joe Burrow. They do have three first-round picks, so it would make for an interesting story if they tried to trade with the Bengals, and then you have to weigh which one of those scenarios is going to be a better fit. Do you go ahead and get Joe Burrow, or would you rather have three first-round picks where you could draft a Justin Herbert or somebody like that and then add two more impact players? I say stick with the number one pick, draft Joe Burrow. The story's great. I think he's a winner, a superstar, and he could maybe propel the Bengals to a different height. So we'll certainly talk more about that as we get closer to the NFL draft. Right now, we want to transition to our second story in the rundown, which is high school wrestling. The state tournament getting underway this past weekend and out at Franklin County. It was the East Central Trojans dominating the team score, 293 points. Milan was the next best at 164.5. And East Central is going to have a lot of young men advancing on to the regional. Let's name all of those wrestlers for you. At 113, Blake Wolf having a phenomenal season, 41-0. He was the champion there. Tyler Snyder at 120. You also had Ben Wolf at 145. Briar Hall, he's undefeated, 34-0 at 152. Cole Veal, 40-2 at 182. Kyle Crumman, undefeated at 37-0. So all those guys are going to go on as winners. Dylan Lingrich at 106, moving through. Ryder Searcy, Ethan Merck, Casey Carr, Brady Rollman, Austin Cox, and Logan Adams, pretty much the entire team. I mean, they're phenomenal. The things they've been able to do this season have been absolutely extraordinary. Let's see here. Milan's got some guys going through. Garrett Kondo was the 106 winner, and some of his teammates, Richard Kondo, Ashton Myers, Shane Lonneman, Hunter Merida, Zach Hauser, and Brady Myers, advancing on to the regional for Lawrenceburg. Corbin Walston was the winner at 132. You also had Andrew Roth at 160, so a couple of individual champions, Jace Bohan, Dominic Tribble, Zach Bill, and Noah Rolette will advance on to the regional. And then for South Dearborn, Eli Otto winning a title at 126. You also had the heavyweight Jackson Goodall winning at 285. And teammates that are going to be moving on for the Knights, Isaiah Otto, Cade McClanahan, Kenneth McGill, and Chase Emmert. So I don't know how many that is off the top of my head. Didn't count them, but plenty of wrestlers from Southeast Indiana going to advance on to the regional, and we'll continue to track their progress as I assume we will have plenty of wrestlers make it to the state level. Speaking of wrestling, hopefully you saw this story over at EagleCountryOnline.com a little bit earlier today, but we continue to follow the exploits of one Mason Paris at the University of Michigan. Just a sophomore, already a captain of the wrestling team there, and he got to wrestle under the bright lights of the world's most famous arena over the weekend, Madison Square Garden, New York City, and Paris came away with a win against, he won the match for Michigan against Rutgers. It was two top 25 teams, and he pinned the heavyweight there for Rutgers in the first round, capturing that 21-16 win for Michigan and giving them another conference dual win. But Paris is 22-0 on the season. He has 14 bonus wins, including 8 falls, and he is the number 2 heavyweight in the nation. I've said it in the past. I said it when he was in high school. I think a national championship is in this kid's future. And the way he is wrestling right now, I would not be surprised if he is in the running come later on this spring. But if you want to see some of the footage from his win there at Madison Square Garden, we do have that over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And now we want to get into some high school basketball. We're going to be with the East Central Trojans boys basketball team here momentarily. But first, we want to let you relive Carson Asherman's game-winning shot for Milan as they took down Southwestern this past Friday night.
Big moment here as Zach Coles at the line with a chance to put his team ahead. And he makes it. Milan's got 5 seconds to score a basket to win the game. Work. Tough pass to Asherman. He puts it out.
He turned around and he hit it. He wins. Carson Asherman wins the game for Milan.
65-64.
Jubilation here in Milan as the fans rush the court.
Absolutely a crazy moment. I got the honor of calling that game. 65-64 Milan coming away with the win over Southwestern. They're now 3-0 in the ORVC, and their goal of winning the conference still well in front of them. I caught up with Carson Asherman after the game. Here with Carson Asherman after a huge win at Milan, 65-64 over Southwestern, a huge conference win. So let's start there. What's it mean for you guys to get this win, move forward towards your goal of winning the conference?
It feels good. We had, over the summer, we had 3 goals coming in the season. We wanted to win the county tournament, win the conference, and win the sectional. And that's the first step to winning. I can just thank my teammates for coming out and playing hard in a big-time moment.
Yeah, so it's 5.3 seconds left in the game. You're down one. Peyton throws you a pass from about 50 feet away. You first make a tough catch and then a turnaround buzzer beater to win the game. Walk me through that whole thing. Just, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, we're running a play. I told him on the free throw, and I heard coach call the play. I'm setting a screen for a guy to roll for a 3. I told Peyton, I said, if they go, I said, I'm going to roll back. I said, just throw it up where I can get it. He made a perfect pass, and I had enough time on the clock to let one fly.
And I imagine this is something that you've practiced in the gym by yourself out in the driveway, counting down 3-2-1. Yeah. How cool was it?
It was awesome. It was ironic because my teammates, I didn't even notice it. I've been wearing Kobe since I was in the, I want to say, 6th grade. It's one of my favorite players. I wear his daughter's number 2. So it was ironic after the moment, my teammates coming up to me and saying mama mentality, which I didn't even think about it, but it was a cool moment. Especially for all our fans, they just always come out and support, and it was cool.
And you just gave me chills with that answer. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Awesome moment tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, a really awesome moment there at Milan. And like I said, the 3-0 in the ORVC, so all their goals well in front of them. Now, if you want to see the footage, again, we have that over at EagleCountryOnline.com. A lot of great stuff over there on the local sports page. With that, we do want to transition into our featured guest here tonight. We have the East Central Boys Basketball Team, Coach Disbrow here with three of his stars. And we're going to start off by letting you guys go around the table, introduce yourself, let everybody know what class you're in, and what position you play on the team.
I'm Logan Rohrbacher. I'm class 2021, and I play almost any position. I'm anything from a small forward to a point guard.
My name is Luke Collinsworth. I am a class of 2021, and I play center.
My name is John Hotel, class of 2021. I'm a forward.
All right. Thanks, guys, for joining us tonight. 11-5 on the season, 3-0 in the EIAC, seven-game winning streak. Haven't lost since January 7th, so we do want to bring in Coach Disbrow momentarily here to talk about this seven-game win streak and just what you've seen from your team. What have been some of the positives over that seven-game win streak?
We've been able to score a lot of points in that seven-game win streak, which sometimes is very necessary for us because we're not the best defending team in the world. And I guess what really makes me kind of proud of these guys too to get us to these seven games, and I think, well, the last time we lost was at LaSalle, mm-hmm. and we yep. lost bad and big, and you know they're really good. They're ranked in the city, and Moeller's the only team that's beat them this year. And you know we went into that game thinking that we were gonna give them a really good battle, and we didn't do that, especially in the first half. We played much better in the second half, and we took some things away, I thought, at halftime of that game, and then probably right after that game happened, where, you know, that's probably the best team that we've played on our schedule so far. And these last seven games, we've had a lot of conference games. We've had both games on the road and at home. But, you know, anytime you win seven, because I tell these guys all the time, it's hard to win a high school basketball game. Mm-hmm. Anytime you win seven in a row, you're doing a nice job.
Yeah, so let's turn it over to the players here. You guys obviously got to be feeling pretty good on that seven-game win streak. How do you feel like you guys have played? Because it's easy to kind of look at the schedule and say, oh, they've won seven in a row. They must be tearing it up. But is there some things that maybe you guys can improve on that you haven't done well over these last seven games that you've won?
Like you said, we are scoring the ball a lot. And personally, over these last seven games, I think defensively we've gotten a lot better. I think that's why we've won these past seven games. So I think defensively we're getting a lot better.
And what are some of the things that are contributing to you guys getting better on defense? Is the communication better? Maybe the effort's a little bit better? Is there something specific you can pinpoint?
We've been running a lot of 2-3 lately and some man. I think we've been talking a lot more, and I think that's been helping. And John over here guards our best player every game, so I think that helps out a lot too.
All right, so let's turn it over to John, because now when I played, I wasn't necessarily a defensive specialist. I got better at it as a senior and kind of took on the challenge to guard some of the better players on the other team. So how's that for you? Is that something that you really look forward to each and every game?
Yeah, I'm not much of an offensive guy. Defense is more for me. It's what I take pride in usually.
And there's something to be said, too, for the quote-unquote glue guys that do kind of the dirty work. And that should be an endearing term, you know, to rebound, to defense, setting screens, getting your guys open. Would you characterize yourself as that kind of player?
They always make fun of me. I'll set screens. If I don't set screens in 5 seconds, I'll be looking around to set a screen. They always make fun of me for it.
But it's part of the game, and he's got to get you open, Logan, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more specifically about some of these games that you won during this seven-game win streak. I want to go back to the January 25th game at Harrison, because we know the rivalry. A lot of times the publicity is put on the football field with how that game has been played over the last several years, but this ended up being a close contest. I know your coach was not very thrilled with giving away a big lead in the fourth quarter.
We're up 13 points, I think it was.
Up 13 points, yeah. Luke. Yeah. So, but to your guys' credit, even though you gave up that big lead, you get into overtime and are still able to come away with the win. So mentally, how were you guys able to get over, you know, losing a big lead and still being able to win the game on the road, too?
I think we've had that problem a couple games in the seven-game stretch. We've gotten up big. I think we've kind of pulled off the gas pedal a little bit. But I think Harrison game, we realized that it's going to be a dogfight till the end, and we stepped it up in overtime and ended up finishing the game winning it in overtime.
And then we'll turn to Logan here. It's got to be a good feeling to go into enemy territory and win on Harrison's court.
Yeah, it's a really good feeling, but I didn't really get to play much in the end of the game because I had four fouls in overtime, and I ended up picking up my fifth foul on a blocking call that was a little questionable. But, you know, I had to sit there, and I have trust in my teammates to be able to pull off the game and get the win for us in rivalry territory.
All right, and John, give us a final thought on being able to beat your rival on their home floor.
It's awesome, man. Anytime you can beat your rival, it's awesome.
All right, Coach, do you want to elaborate on that game a little bit?
Yeah. What I, again, thought was really big there was we had that 13-point lead. We scored 6 points in the fourth quarter and I think had six turnovers. And I think that was on about 14 possessions in that quarter because I remember specifically going over, I don't know, 2 or 3 minute mark of the third quarter until the end of the game. And we watched a lot of those turnovers and we watched a lot of those plays we had. We didn't take care of the basketball. We didn't get great shots. We didn't defend very well in that fourth quarter. Now, some of that was probably that Logan was in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. But they tied it up. We had the ball, turned it over again, had to get a stop to get to overtime, which we did. And I think that might have been a stop and another stop because I think they got an offensive rebound. And then in the very first possession of overtime, we lose Logan. And Logan's a very, very big part of our team.
Sure.
And for us to go down 2 points on the first possession of overtime, to lose Logan, and then for us to get that lead and then hold them off at the end in enemy territory, that was a huge win for us.
Yeah, getting through some adversity, I'm sure that's a good building block for you guys as you continue on this win streak. So this past weekend, on Friday, you handle your business at home against Columbus East, 69-51, and then you have to go back out and play on Saturday night again at home against a pretty good North Decatur team, and that was a 61-60 win. So let's walk through these two games on the weekend. This is how it always used to be back when I played. It was always a Friday, Saturday, two games a week type deal. Is this something you guys enjoy doing, is preparing for two teams and playing them back-to-back on a Friday, Saturday? And, Coach, you can jump in there,
because what I will tell you, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
And we used to play a lot of doubles. This was these guys' only second double of the year, and it's the second double that we'll have all year. The only true double. We've had two of them. Mm-hmm. But this was our last one, and they don't get a lot of experience with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, you can – these guys, we'll let these guys answer about how it is to prepare for one team all week and then to turn around on Saturday and come in when you're sore and, you know, you just got a nice win and you got to come in and you got to get ready for that next game quickly.
Yeah, especially when you got two good teams there. Yeah. But, yeah, just talk about the process of, you know, getting ready for those two teams.
It's very difficult coming in throughout the week, and we prepared for Columbus East throughout the week. And we got that big win, played really well Friday night, defended really well. Came in Saturday afternoon and watched some film on North Decatur, and they're really good. They have they're shooters. They all can shoot. I think that was a big focus for us on Saturday, was getting out to the arc and making them dribble to score.
So mentally, is it tough to get through that second game? You're coming off a high. You got 6-game winning streak. You're playing a back to back against a good North Decatur team, and maybe on paper, there's probably some folks out there saying maybe it shouldn't have been a 1-point game. But it's tough to go back on that second night and defend and have those, you know, fresh legs. John, you're one of the big defenders there on East Central's team. So speak a little bit more to that, playing that second game in two nights.
Your body usually gets tired. It sucks. It's a drag through the week. But Coach Diz told us Saturday when we were in film, it's awesome being with these guys, like with everybody. It's like once in a lifetime. Got to enjoy it while you have it.
That's a good
point. Awesome.
And Logan, we'll turn to you to kind of walk us through the waning moments of that game, because you guys nearly won on a buzzer beater just like Milan did. So walk us through the end of that game and how thrilling that was for you guys.
Yeah, we had a really late, you know, it was a 61-60 win. We were down 59-60 going into about the final 10 seconds. And First off, I want to say that North Decatur team is maybe one of the best 7-10 teams, 7-10 teams that we've ever played or ever seen. You know, we've talked about that, saying that they're a very good team. Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing. We've ran through this situation. You know, we're always prepared for any situation that we get. And, you know, whether or not it's 8 seconds on the clock, down by one, 10 seconds on the clock, down by one, we know what we have to do in those situations. And we've practiced before. We knew what we had to do. We ran through the situation, and I got the ball to AJ, and AJ got it to the hole, and he scored the game-winning point with 1.8 seconds left.
All right, so we're gonna skip ahead to do one lightning round question. I've been asking all the basketball teams that have come through the last couple weeks. This one, you might have already heard it. Went on a buzzer beater or went on a defensive stop? What would you rather do?
Personally, a buzzer beater is a lot more exciting.
Yeah, it is.
For sure.
Buzzer beater for sure.
Buzzer beater
energy
across the board.
Excitement. Buzzer beater across the board.
Coach.
Okay, Travis, I have two things to say about this. Number one is I knew these three would pick the buzzer beaters because, you know, we've talked about we're not the best defensive team in the world. The other thing I will tell you is that, you know, we talked about this before also, but what I love about coaching basketball and what I love about coaching these guys, and this might sound dumb and nerdy and whatever, but, you know, I like watching the tape and I like trying to get ready and prepare and get them a scouting report together. Mm-hmm. And what I always tell these guys is I always want them to be to their best of ability as prepared as we can be. Mm-hmm. And these guys do a real nice job of taking whatever we have for them, whether it's scout, whether it's video, whether it's what we're doing on the floor. And I, you know, it's awesome that Logan brings that up because, you know, we know what we're going to do if we're down 1 point with 9 seconds to go. Mm-hmm. And we had to do something a little bit different because we called timeout. We usually don't call timeout.
Yeah.
But we had gone defense and offense. So AJ and Luke were both sitting on the bench for that defensive possession. Mm-hmm. So the basket gets scored and we're down one. There's 9 seconds to go. We have two timeouts left. We had to call a timeout to get those guys on the floor.
Sure.
And then the last thing I would tell you about that situation and the play that we ran, AJ hit a tough shot. Logan made a great pass. AJ hit a tough shot. There was two, maybe three guys around him. And I told these guys when we were just eating dinner, Luke was in great position to offensive rebound that shot, and Trevor Becker was in great position to offensive rebound that shot, which is where we wanted them. And with that 1.8 or 2.2, whatever was left, they were in the perfect spot to tip that thing in if AJ wouldn't have hit that shot.
Sounds like you guys were well prepared for the situation, and it wasn't too big for you. So kudos to you guys. 3-0 in the EIAC. Obviously, a big matchup coming up on Thursday night. You're going to host Lawrenceburg. They're coming in on a little bit of a downside. They've lost 5 games in a row, but they are a very talented team, and they'll go, you know, 8-9, maybe even 10 deep. It all starts with Gavin Yoon. I'm sure you guys have you've already played against him the past couple of years. He's a phenomenal scorer. So. That's going to be a little bit of a challenge for you guys trying to slow him down. How difficult is he to guard?
He is a really, really good player. I've watched him play for 2 years in school ball and 2 years in AAU ball because I've played in some tournaments where he's at. And he is a really, really good shooter. He's got everything. He's got a pull up. He's got everything. So, John over here is going to have a big task on Thursday night.
John, you up for the challenge here, facing off against one of the best scorers in the region?
I'm going to get at everything I got. He's definitely one of the best players in the conference. Can't underestimate him. He's going to be good. Just got to try to play good against him, I guess.
Make it tough.
Slow him down.
So this is obviously a big game. You guys have aspirations of winning the conference. So have you had some internal discussions about just how big it is to continue to win these conference games moving forward, Logan?
Yeah, we've all really talked about this a lot because we've been talking about, you know, what's the next step to becoming a really good team. You know, we didn't start off the season in the way that we would have liked to, but in my opinion, I think we have improved a ton, especially on the defensive end like we were talking about.
Yep.
And one of those big goals of becoming a better team and getting better would be to win the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in our eyes, winning the conference is going to be a big thing that makes us turn the corner to becoming a really good team. And that's just a really big goal for us.
Yeah, and it's a good conference, especially there at the top, and I'm including you guys in that. And five of your last seven games are actually going to be against EIAC opponents and or sectional opponents. So a lot of big moments here as you hit the home stretch. You get a chance to play Columbus North, which you might see in the sectional as well. So even though you're playing important games, you're also maybe thinking a little bit about the future and how these games can help shape you come sectional time.
Yeah, I think that Columbus East game really helped us out and see where we were sectional-wise. And this Saturday is going to be a really tough game because Columbus North is really, really good. They have three really, really good players.
Yeah, the sectional as a whole, which you guys are going to Columbus North. That's better than driving all the way to Bloomington. I think all you guys would agree with that. But Bloomington South, no secret there, 18-0, number one in 4A. North, Columbus North and Bloomington North are good for that matter as well. So it's going to be tough one way that either way you slice it. But you guys seem to me to be the guys that really love challenging yourself and playing some of these really good teams. So what are you looking forward to most when you get into postseason play?
Something that I personally am looking forward to is, you know, with our sectional, you got a lot of the big dogs. You got the two Columbuses, you got both Bloomingtons and Martinsville being new to our sectional. But, you know, having those four really big schools, the two Bloomingtons and the two Columbuses, you know, people kind of put you as kind of like a shadow, put East Central kind of in the shadow. And something that I personally really look forward to in the postseason is, you know, kind of wanting to stir that up a little bit and, you know, coming out of the shadow and showing that, hey, you know, we're a really good team and, you know, we're going to give you a run for our money and we're going to show you what we got.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of times when you think of East Central in any athletic field, you guys are usually the favorite. And you might not be able to say that when you get into sectional play. Not that you guys aren't a very good team, but do you kind of like being on the flip side of it? Luke, John, you know, maybe playing that underdog role a little bit?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Like Logan said, the four big schools are amazing. I mean, Bloomington South has the number one player in Indiana who's going, Anthony Leal, who's going to IU, and he is a really, really good. And the sectional's tough, and I really like being the underdog because you can just go out there and show what we got and show that we can beat those teams.
All right, and well, we're getting close to running out of time here, so we are going to flip the script, open it up a little bit, try and have a little fun with you guys and get to know you a little bit better with our lightning round. It is Crunch Time presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. See them this tax season. Get $50 cash now with your paid tax preparation. And we'll start off with your favorite opposing gym to play in.
Ooh, Spartan Bowl.
Oh, no. I was going to...
What were you going to say?
For sure, Richmond. I love playing at Richmond.
All right, Logan.
I honestly do not know, but I would probably go with either Richmond or Connersville just because it's a really big,
place. Connersville, especially when that place comes back, it's really fun.
Connersville's been a popular answer with some of our local teams over the past couple of weeks, so no surprise there. How about a go-to pregame meal?
I was talking about this one. All right. I personally don't really have a meal that's a go-to. You know, I occasionally get the Milky Way or Snickers. But the big thing that
light.
we drink a Mountain Dew Game Fuel before every game. I used to do it before every game starting last season, and Luke just started hopping on the trend.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I actually started doing that. I love those things. And before the game, I usually go to the gas station across the street from the school and grab that drink and a bag of beef jerky.
All right, that's you guys are pre-game. Keeping it light. How about you, John?
I keep it light, man. I don't really try to eat much. Don't want to mess up the stomach.
I can't believe these guys didn't say that they. It's just my wife's pregame meals. Like two or three times. I can't believe they didn't say it.
Yeah, man, that's
she made some of the best pulled pork barbecue I have ever had in my life.
All right, that sounds good. I could be in for that. How about some hobbies? What do you guys like to do off the basketball court?
Football. Football and basketball.
I can see that coming, Logan.
probably honestly my biggest hobby is just hanging out with these guys. Yeah. We hang out, it seems like, almost every day, whether it's after practice or after a game. You know, we have a weekly ritual. We go to our friend's house every Saturday night. And
hang out and have fun.
Hang out and have fun. That's probably my biggest hobby, personally.
All right, John?
This guy to the left of me, every Saturday night, will want to get in the hot tub so bad. So bad. Yeah. Yeah, every Saturday.
That doesn't sound half bad.
Hot tubs.
So I got to branch off on one question here. You guys seem like a really tight-knit group. Do you find that makes it easier to play together on the floor?
Yes, a lot, for sure. Yes. I think having a closer relationship with the team is very, very important. And this is definitely the closest team bonding wise I've ever played on, but by far.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Any one of you guys have any hidden talents?
This kid knows how to chug a water bottle really, really fast.
I can't do that.
Man.
Anything else we can think of?
John could hit some dance moves.
I'm an all right dancer.
I don't know if I would have pegged you for a dancer, but that's cool. All right. We talked about this a little bit before we went on air. Video game players?
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation or
that's
Xbox?
All the way,
I used to play Fortnite about every day, but I've fallen away from that. Now, every once in a while, I play my little brother in Madden, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'll play the occasional sports games every once in a while.
All right, who's the best at video games?
All Block, for sure. For sure. No question.
What's your game? What's your game?
I am a big 2K player. I've been starting to play some Minecraft. Minecraft it's been becoming more popular, I think.
All right, it's a great game. That's cool. I can do 2K. I haven't got it into the Minecraft. And I think, John, you wanted to say something, a personal message that you want to get out there?
So my mom told me she'd give me $100 if I told her I love her. I love you, Mom.
And we all love you, Mom, because we're all looking for
$100. We all want to get in on that, Mrs. Hotel.
I love you, Lynn.
Yes.
Love you, Lynn.
All right, so unfortunately, we have a run out of time here, but it was great catching up with you guys. Thanks for stopping by. It was a lot of fun. Hope
thanks
you guys had a good time.
Thank you.
All right, so East Central, you got to get out and support these guys. They are going to play Lawrenceburg this Thursday night. That'll be approximately 7:30 tip-off for that varsity game, a big EIAC matchup, as Lawrenceburg's trying to hang around in the conference as well. So get out and support the Trojans' big home match this Thursday. And as always, be sure to tune in to Crunch Time each and every Monday night, 6 to 6:30. It is presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. Thanks for listening. So long and good night.